What every wife needs to know about a man's struggle for sexual integrity. You may be asking yourself, do I need to even bother listening to this? Is this message really for me? Well, let me begin by telling you three groups of women that I believe this message is intended for, who I've written this for. The first is for the wife who believes her husband is either immune to or who's already found victory over his struggle for sexual integrity. This message is still for you because even if your husband does not struggle in this arena, you undoubtedly know, work with, or are connected with men who do struggle in this arena. You also have countless friends whose husbands struggle, who need people in their life who can listen and at least know a few basic facts and principles and be a safe person for them. It could also be you because sometimes a man's wife is oblivious to her husband's issues. Sometimes she is, unfortunately, the very last one to know. Secondly, it's for the wife who thinks her husband might have some struggles in the sexual arena. Many wives have suspicions, but they don't think they have enough evidence to confront. Some have even confronted their husband, but their husband has explained things in a way that seems possible. Fishy, but possible. Maybe they found something on the computer, a phone bill, a hidden magazine, or maybe they have felt pressure in the bedroom to do things that didn't feel safe, comfortable, or loving. Yet their own self-doubt and other reasons keeps them from listening to their gut that says something is terribly wrong. If that's you, this message is for you. But then third, and most obviously, this message is for wives who know their husbands have issues in this arena. It's for the wife who has no doubts. She just doesn't know what to do. Well, you may be asking, well, who are you? And why should I spend my valuable time listening to this CD and listening to your message? Well, my name's Darrell Brazel. I'm the director of New Hope Recovery Ministries. And what you need to know about me is, first of all, that I am in recovery myself. I have my own personal journey and struggle with sexual issues. By the grace of God, however, I have been sober and free from pornography, masturbation, and sexual acting out since February of 2000. Since early in 2001, I have led recovery groups for men who wrestle with pornography, masturbation, and other sexual issues. And also, since that time, I have done a considerable amount of counseling with individuals and couples in the recovery process. Since this time, I've worked with hundreds of men and couples, helping them navigate the incredibly difficult waters of recovery. I am also the author of a new recovery manual called The New Hope for Sexual Integrity, which I've written to be a step-by-step manual for men in the early stages of recovery. It's also important for you to note that I have a heart to be an advocate for the wives who are often the forgotten and most deeply suffering victims of pornography. You see, through my own recovery journey, through counseling with couples in crisis, and through seeing the damage my addiction did to my lovely wife, I have become convinced that someone needs to speak up on your behalf. And someone needs to speak to you and give you some basic tools and basic understandings. You see, a husband's struggle with pornography and sexual issues do great damage. And I have seen that damage firsthand in my wife's eyes and in the eyes of other women. And it's time that the church began to act and help its members find health and healing and wholeness. So out of that background, I want to share with you some of the things that have been very helpful to the many wives with whom I have counseled over the past 8 years. The first thing I want you to hear from me today is the simple truth: you are not alone. Whether you're a wife who knows her husband struggles in this arena, or if you just have some questions and doubts, you need to know you are not alone. The sad reality is that pornography, masturbation, and sexual struggles are at epidemic proportions in our culture, our society, and even our world as a whole. The entertainment industry has been bombarding us with sexual images and messages in progressing and aggressive ways for 2, 3, maybe even 4 generations. And on top of that, the internet has exploded in such a way that it has made pornography easily accessible to anyone. And the results are disastrous. Here's just a couple statistics to set the stage. A recent survey in the Journal of American Psychological Association found that 86% of American men are likely to click on internet sex sites. In another poll, 87% of college students admit to having virtual sex using instant messenger, webcams, and telephones. And unfortunately, the church is far from immune. At a March 2000 summit of 2,000 Christian men, Shelley Lubin challenged those who were struggling with pornography addiction to stand. 30% stood up. She challenged them a second time, and another wave of men courageously rose to their feet, totaling 70% of the audience. If you go back to 1996, and this statistic is dated, but I think it's significant. In 1996, 53% of men surveyed who were leaving a Promise Keepers event admitted to looking at pornography within the past week. Now that's significant on several levels. First of all, it's significant because 53% of them admitted to looking within a week. And that's not counting the men who were too afraid of someone seeing them as they filled out a survey to honestly tell the truth. It also doesn't take into account the number of men who didn't consider their form of pornography to be pornography. It's amazing how many men consider softcore porn like Playboy and etc. to not be pornography. It also needs to be noted that that was 13 years ago. And the stakes have been raised. And the amount of sexual content on the internet has mushroomed in ever-progressive ways in those 13 years. Now, these statistics are staggering. And I could spend a whole hour at least giving you many more that could make your head spin. If you're not convinced and want more proof, just do a Google search for, quote, porn statistics. Or go to blazinggrace.org. They have some of the best and most up-to-date statistics that I've been able to find. However, the simple point I want to make up front is the point that you are not alone. And I am thoroughly convinced one of Satan's primary strategies in all our struggles is to keep us silent and to keep us isolated. You see, he knows that if we start talking about our secrets, start talking about the hidden pain in our lives, there is a great potential for community and that true fellowship brings strength, healing, and transformation. In fact, that is John's point in 1 John 1:7 when he says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Satan wants us to keep these issues and these struggles and these fears and these painful things in the dark. But let me just encourage you. You need to know right up front, you are not alone. And if you are listening to this and think you are alone, let me just challenge you to do one very important thing, and that's pray. Pray and ask God to show you individuals with whom you can safely share your story. And then when individuals come to your mind, take a step of faith and talk to them. The second thing I want to tell you is that you are not crazy. The fact that you have doubts, suspicions, and questions is not evidence of insanity or paranoia. I can't tell you how many women have burst into tears in my office upon hearing me say this simple thing. They have been told by their husbands, the media, peers, and unfortunately at times by well-meaning pastors, priests, and counselors that they are just being paranoid or that it really isn't a big deal and other ridiculous things. But it is a big deal. And you are not crazy. If you have found evidence of his struggle, or if you see the signs, you are not mean, vindictive, or crazy for asking questions, reading materials, going to a support group, or even for seeing a counselor to learn more about the issue and to learn why it is so hard for you to stand up for yourself. You see, the reality is, it is a huge issue. A married man's use of pornography is a betrayal that cuts to the very core of the feminine heart. Many times, men want to minimize or justify their actions by saying things like, well, just because I'm on a diet doesn't mean I can't look at the menu. Yet in Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Jesus doesn't pull any punches on this issue. Why? I believe it's because he understands how damaging it is both to the husband and to the wife. The fact that it hurts you deeply to know your husband gets sexual pleasure by looking at and or fantasizing about other women is not a sign that there is something wrong with you. No, it is simply a sign that you are a woman. And God created woman with a heart that longs to be cherished by a husband who, quote, forsakes all others. You are not crazy because this is an issue for you. Third, I want to tell you that you are not to blame. It is not your fault. Let me repeat that again. It is not your fault. The fact that your husband struggles in the sexual arena is in no way, shape, or form your fault. Yes, I know you have probably failed your husband in many ways. You may have even failed him in the sexual realm. But here's the reality. We are all fallen, broken individuals. And every spouse fails his or her spouse in many, many ways. And the bottom line that you need to understand is that no matter how you failed your husband, it does not justify his acting out sexually against you and against his God. And it's not your fault to begin with. You see, if your husband struggles with pornography, you need to understand that he doesn't look at pornography because you aren't pretty enough. I mean, think about it. Both Halle Berry and Christie Brinkley both were married to men who, when they're in the process of their divorces and all the dirt starts coming out, it comes out quite clearly that both men were struggling with sexual addiction issues. Halle Berry and Christie Brinkley, two of the prettiest women on the earth. Two supermodels that Hollywood and everyone wants to use as the image of beauty. And yet their husbands looked and craved more pornography and other sexual encounters besides them. Why? Because a man doesn't look at pornography because his wife has gained weight. He doesn't look at pornography because she has a temper. He doesn't look at pornography because she isn't interested in sex as much as he is, or because she isn't exciting enough in bed. No, a man looks at pornography because he has a problem. I have yet to work with a man whose real issues driving him to pornography and masturbation didn't start in his childhood. And 99% of the men I work with were addicted long before they even met their wife. You see, pornography and masturbation are powerful pain-relieving drugs that help a man go to the place that Pink Floyd called comfortably numb. Yes, I know, that was probably about drugs, but this is a drug. Acting out sexually is primarily an escape and coping strategy that unfortunately is just as addictive as cocaine. Now I know that whenever I make those sort of statements, I see people and they're skeptical. They don't believe me. I've even had people argue with me about it. They've argued about the addictive nature of sexual acting out and pornography because after all, it's not an external drug. However, let me encourage you, if you're skeptical here, do some research. Read Mark Castleman's book, The Drug of the New Millennium. Read my New Hope for Sexual Integrity Recovery Manual. Read An Affair of the Mind by Lori Hall. The research is out there, and it's becoming abundantly clear. Pornography and masturbation are powerful and addictive drugs. Go online, do a Google search. Type in the words pornography addiction and brain science. Type in the words pornography, addiction, and drugs. And see all the hits and read some very credible articles by people a whole lot smarter than me. Or get my Brain Science of Sex and Addiction DVD and see how those things come together and see that that pornography is a very powerful chemical reaction. And because of that, you need to understand that it's not your fault. Your husband isn't going to those places because you're not enough. He's going to those places because he learned early in life that he could act out sexually, and at least momentarily, it would numb him out or take away the pain. I mean, think about it this way. If you discovered your husband had been addicted to cocaine since he was 14, and you met and married him when he was 22, would his cocaine addiction be your fault? No, of course not. And neither is his struggle with pornography, masturbation, and other sexual issues. Because most likely those struggles began when he was 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And odds are you didn't even know him then. And even if you did know him then, you weren't part of that cycle. You are not to blame. It is not your fault. Fourth thing I need to tell you today is that you most likely only see the tip of the iceberg. You've seen the images, you've seen the analogies. You have an iceberg with a small portion sticking out of the water, but a huge mass beneath the water that cannot be seen. Unfortunately, that's the way it is with most men's struggle with sexual issues. I wish this were not true. However, an addicted man invariably lies first to himself and then to his wife and others about the severity of his struggles. I have had men come to me who seemed genuinely broken and eager to confess their problem. Yet even in that place of eagerness, they still held back significant details about the breadth and depth of their acting out. This has been true both for men who have been caught and for the men who have made the decision to seek help completely on their own. You see, the first person we deceive is always ourself. Therefore, you need to understand that if you have seen evidence of your husband's struggle in the past, it would be an extreme aberration if it just went away. If your husband has not sought out help in recovery, you need to know that the problem didn't disappear because you caught him. Many men have promised they wouldn't do it again, only to become better at hiding their actions. One man's wife I know caught him masturbating in the first month of their marriage. She was hurt, so he told her he wouldn't do it anymore. However, instead of dealing with his struggle, he rationalized to himself that she was a woman and just didn't understand about a man's needs, so he was just more careful to make sure she didn't catch him anymore. This deception is especially true for the men who have wives who have seen the signs, but for whatever reason have been unwilling or unable to face the issue head on. I have had wives who knew a few things, i.e. they found pornography a time or two, and there were some strange charges on a credit card, and etc., who eventually found out their husband had been acting out their entire marriage. I have even seen a few instances where the husband had been seeing prostitutes for years and the wife was completely oblivious. She knew there were some struggles, but she thought her husband would never go that far. Let me tell you, it is a horrible thing when a wife has to go to the doctor to take a test for sexually transmitted diseases upon discovering that her husband's, quote, little problem was much bigger than he made it out to be. You see, the sad reality is all addicts lie about their addiction. Alcoholics lie about how much they drink. Drug addicts lie about the drugs they use. And sex addicts lie about their sexual activities. Now, I'm not saying that because you found something one time, your husband is automatically a sex addict. However, I will tell you this. The odds of you having found out everything are pretty slim. Your husband could be the exception to the rule, but I have not yet met him. But you need to know that you are not crazy, and you are not mean, and you are not vindictive for asking the hard questions when you see evidence that points to an issue and a struggle. In fact, if you approach him in vulnerability and ask him if he struggles in this arena, and he gets angry at you for merely asking the question, then you need to know that that is a major warning sign. You see, if he doesn't struggle in this arena, he should at least know enough about the prevalence of the issue to understand your concerns and respond with loving reassurance and openness rather than a defensiveness. The fifth thing I want you to know today is that you are not powerless. I can't tell you how many wives I've encountered who knew their husband struggled, but they thought they were trapped and couldn't do anything about the situation. No, you can't fix him, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But you can protect yourself and your children from the incredible collateral damage done by pornography and sexual addiction. And to help you do that, you may need to do some research and to honestly look at the effect pornography has on the family. Dr. Doug Weiss has an excellent book called Beyond the Bedroom, where he interviews grown children of sex addicts, and the results show incredible damage on the children, even those who were not aware of the issue until they were out of the house. Again, the book I mentioned earlier, Mark Castleman's The Drug of the New Millennium, also does a great job explaining what happens when we enter the pornography funnel of sex instead of the sacred funnel of God-ordained sex. You need to take an honest look at what pornography and sexual struggles do to the family. A man who struggles in this arena, a man who indulges, a man who enters into that place, goes to a place of numbness that prevents him from really connecting with his wife and his children. You felt the disconnect, but what you need to understand is that disconnect is doing great damage to his children, and it must be addressed. You see, wives, you need to understand that you are the mother bear of your home, and it is a righteous thing when you go to war against the sexual immorality in your own home. Some wives object because, after all, aren't we supposed to be in submission to our husbands? Yes, you are. But it's important that you understand what biblical submission is, because biblical submission is very different than subjection. Submission is choosing to be under the authority of another. Subjection is when authority is imposed upon you. But here's a critical thing you need to understand. Your submission to your husband never supersedes your submission to your heavenly Father. And if your husband struggles in the sexual arena, you need to understand that God does not expect you to submit to him on this issue because God outranks him. And you are perfectly right and righteous to go to war on this issue. So what can you do? How can you fight this battle for purity for your family, for yourself, and even for your husband? Well, let me give you a few steps. And I know these are hard. I know they're terrifying for many of you. But let me encourage you to just think about them and pray about them and maybe talk to someone about it. The first thing I want to encourage you all to do is to try initially to confront in a loving manner. Now, I know I've said some hard things so far about husbands, but please don't misunderstand me. I love the men I work with, and most of them are good men. In fact, somewhere beneath the mess, they are all good men, and they are image bearers of my God, because we are all created in His image. Many of them long for a way out, but they honestly don't know how. I was one of those men. I always hated my sexual sin. I always hated my use of pornography. I despised myself for it, and I desperately wanted a way out. And many of the men I work with are in the same place. So please, even though you may be deeply hurt, even though you may be incredibly angry, ask God to empower you to approach Him with a gentle firmness. Tell Him what you know. Tell Him that your heart is breaking over what you know, and ask Him to take the initiative to find help. For some men, this will be enough to start the process. Some men will break with just a simple invitation from the woman they truly love. But then second, don't be fooled by crocodile tears. Unfortunately, many men, when confronted, seem broken and willing at first to do whatever they need to do. However, many times they think an apology, a prayer, and a promise to not go back is enough. Don't settle so easily. Don't believe his words, believe his behavior. If he says he won't do it again, but does nothing to get help, tries to handle it on his own, in his own isolation, then believe his behavior. Struggles in this arena do not go away easily. A promise to change without taking specific measures is fool's gold. If this has gone on for any amount of time, and again, for most men, it goes all the way back into their early childhood, a man cannot get out of it by himself. It is like quicksand, and the harder he fights alone, the faster he will sink. So believe his behavior. If he doesn't seek help, if he doesn't start talking to other men, then you can know that what you have experienced in the past is what you can expect in the future. But then third, you need to take definitive action. If your husband refuses to respond to a gentle and loving request to get help, then draw a line in the sand. Protect yourself, your children, and the sexual integrity of your home. Many wives believe this is impossible. I've told many women on the phone who called and asked, you know, how do we get involved in this? How do we get help? I've told many of them that the first step is to getting help in our ministry would be to have a couple's appointment with me or for their husband to call and make a one-on-one appointment with me. I can't tell you how many have responded by saying something to the effect of, there's no way he would ever come. And to that response, I have a standard reply. I tell them this. I say, if he objects to making an appointment, tell him the following. That is your choice. But until you make an appointment, you may not sleep in my bed, kiss me, or touch my body in any way, shape, or form. He may think you're bluffing. But I promise you, if you hold your ground and keep your word, I will most likely hear from him within 24 hours. And if I don't, then you have one more huge reason to suspect the iceberg is even larger than you realize and that you should do whatever is necessary to protect you, protect your heart, and the hearts of your children. Sixth, you must understand you cannot fix him. You have to let go of the part of you that thinks it is your responsibility to get him better. You cannot do recovery for him. You may learn many good things by reading the books he should be reading. However, you cannot download the information from your brain to his. He has to do it himself. You also need to realize that you can't keep him from acting out. You can't watch over him day and night. It isn't your job to constantly monitor his internet use or his cable TV watching or to keep an accounting of his every waking moment. No, you are his wife, not his policeman. And no, you may not be able to trust him for a while. But here's a crucial thing. You can trust God. As hard as it is, you are going to have to release him into God's hands and let him learn from both his victories and his failures. He must do his own work of healing and recovery. You also must understand that you can't fix him by making yourself available for him sexually so that he doesn't struggle. Unfortunately, this myth has been promoted by many well-meaning people and even by a best-selling Christian book. In one particular section of this book, in a section for the wives, the author writes this. He says, once he tells you he is going cold turkey, meaning abstaining from sexual stimuli outside of the marriage, Be like a merciful vial of methadone for him. Increase your availability to him sexually, though this may be difficult for you. I bring this up because many, many wives believe or have been told by pastors, friends, peers, well-intentioned, but I think misguided people, that it is the wife's job to help their husband in this way. And this myth comes from the mistaken belief that if a man doesn't have the buildup of sexual pressure, he won't act out. The problem with this, however, is twofold. First of all, it can actually be counterproductive for the husband. One of the basic core lies that sexually addicted individuals must face is the lie that, quote, I will die or at least have serious physical and psychological impairment if I don't have a sexual release every X number of hours. Almost every man I have ever worked with believes that lie to some extent. The reality, however, is it's not true. And it's been proven by many single men throughout the ages. And for a man to truly find freedom in the sexual arena, he must break the yoke of this lie and discover that he can be okay even without sexual release. However, if his wife rescues him every time he starts hitting that wall of whatever time he thinks he can't last beyond, he cannot discover the truth. But then second, the second reason that it is counterproductive is because asking a wife to use her sexuality as a, quote, methadone substitute is insensitive, if not cruel. The only way a woman in pain can do this is by shutting down her heart, and this invariably causes great damage. In fact, many wives have faced significant sexual dysfunction even years into the recovery process that came at least in part from feeling used and even prostituted during the recovery process as a result of this thinking. A man can be, in fact, must learn to be okay even without a sexual release. It's also essential in this regard to recognize that Paul's teaching in Corinthians about a husband or a wife not withholding sexual intimacies was not written in the context of sexual addiction. So don't be using that scripture against yourself or allowing others to use it against you. It isn't your job to make your husband okay through sex. And it doesn't work anyway. It's okay for you to be hurt and unavailable in that way. But then third, you need to understand if your husband is looking at pornography, it is neurologically impossible for him to not bring those images into the bed with you. A neurological fact is that it takes only 1/3 of 1 second, just a momentary glance, for a pornographic image to be seared into the mind. And those images, once seared, will pop back up both intentionally and unintentionally until he has both significant time and a conscious decision of the will to shut them down whenever they pop up. If your husband is looking at pornography and you are being physically intimate with him, I promise you, those images are rolling through his mind like a slideshow. And that's part of why it feels so disconnected. So if you don't want to share your bedroom experiences with the women of his pornography, then don't be intimate with a husband who is acting out. It's also essential in the light of not being able to fix him that you don't attempt to be his accountability person. We've had a number of men who tried to use their wives in this role. Sometimes it's even been at the wife's insistence. However, it is a devastating role for a wife to play. You see, a man needs other men with whom he can be accountable. Yes, he needs to be honest with his wife about his struggles. One of our core tenets in our recovery ministry is that a husband needs to honestly confess both the breadth and depth of his acting out against his wife. She doesn't need to know all the details, because some of the details can be incredibly hard to get past. But he needs to confess the breadth and depth of it. Because if she's going to forgive him, she has to know what she's forgiving. She can't forgive him of a debt that she thinks is $1,000, only to discover down the line that the debt was really $20,000. It's much better to have it all out in the light. However, what we have learned is that while a man needs to confess his struggles, even his continuing struggles through the recovery process with his wife, we've learned that it is much more effective if he first confesses his sin to another man and then to his wife. And the reason for this is that what we all need when we confess our sin is someone who can be a representative of God's grace and mercy in our life. We need someone who can receive our confession and remind us that God is still glad as glad can be to be with us. We need someone that can remind us that the blood of Jesus Christ covers any and every sin, and that our confession of our sin to Him washes us clean. However, the only way a wife, upon first hearing her husband's sexual sin against her, can be that ambassador of grace is by shutting down her heart, ignoring her pain, and basically giving herself an emotional lobotomy. It is natural and right for her to be hurt and even angry at the impact his sin has on her and her children. Yes, she needs to forgive. And if she allows him to, God will lead her on that path. However, before she can truly forgive, she must first grieve her losses. And for a woman to be a husband's accountability partner takes away her opportunity to have the time and space to deal with those issues. You can't fix him. Only God can fix him. But then seventh, I believe it's important for wives to know some of the possible signs of pornography use and sexual addiction. And this goes back to my beginning statements about who should be listening to this. If you have suspicions, or if you're totally oblivious or think that your husband doesn't struggle in this area, you need to be aware of some of the signs. And you need to understand that these signs are somewhat ambiguous. Some of them point to other things. But here are some common signs that we have seen through the years and that others have seen that come from men who are wrestling with pornography and sexual issues. Here's a few of the most glaring signs that we've seen. Men who have angry outbursts and frequent arguments with their wives about sex. The bedroom is more of a battleground than a love field. Oftentimes that points to a struggle with sexual issues. Along that same line, men who are constantly badgering or demanding sex. No matter how often, no matter how much, it's never enough. On the opposite extreme, another sign is men who avoid sex. Some men in a sexual addiction, they have to have more, more, more. Some men in their sexual struggle, sexual addiction, they meet their sexual needs through pornography, masturbation, or other sexual encounters. And so they're not very interested in being physically intimate with their wife. Another sign is requesting and or nagging for strange or uncomfortable sexual activities. Unfortunately, many times through their pornography use, men develop an appetite for certain things in the bedroom that their wives consider debase or at least uncomfortable and unloving. And a man who continues to pressure for those things, that's often a sign of a man who's dabbling or who has dove into the pornography funnel. Another common sign is husbands who complain about their wife's body shape, style, and etc. One of the really powerful things about real sexual connection, as God designed it, is that you literally fall in love with what you're looking at as you're sexually intimate. And so the reality, as God designed it, is that the more you're physically, sexually intimate with your spouse, the more you are going to find them attractive and more you like seeing them, because that's what you become accustomed to in that point of great physical and neurological pleasure. So when a man is constantly complaining about his wife gaining weight, or about her not having the right bra size, or other specific aspects of her physical nature, it's quite often a sign that he's finding himself finding his gratification in other places. Another sign is what's called I call emotional zombiness. It's the husband who is always checked out, unable to connect. Christy Brinkley described it well in her divorce trial when she said about her husband, who was struggling with sexual addiction, apparently. She said, "The person I knew and loved was, quote, an invisible man." The shame, and not just the shame, but even just the biological and neurological things that go on the mind, go on inside the mind through pornography and sexual addiction, leave a man physically, biologically, and neurologically unable to connect with those he loves. Another sign is spending long hours on a computer. Now, granted, some men do that for work, some men do that for their hobbies, and it's not automatically conclusive. But if a man is constantly wanting to be constantly on the computer, it can be a sign of trouble, especially if he's highly agitated when he's not able to be online. Or if you see these other signs of him clearing the internet browser history, either constantly or randomly. If he is highly secretive about his activity around the computer and or at times the cell phone. Those are warning signs you need to pay attention to. It's also a warning sign if TV channels or computer screens suddenly change whenever someone else enters the room. It's very common for men who look at pornography to keep another screen, a safe screen, in the background. So as soon as they see someone coming, they can click on it and it hides what they're looking at. Another warning sign is insisting on keeping computers, television, and other media outlets in isolated places. Wanting to have the desk turned to where the monitor can't be seen until you're all the way in the back corner of a room, and etc. Another warning sign is lying about things related to the computer, cell phone, time, money, and etc. As I said before, addiction and deception go hand in hand. And so when you see a lot of deception, there is always a great potential in this arena. Another sign is defensiveness when asked about computer, TV, or movie habits. Even just a little innocent question receives an immediate angry response. That's a warning sign that should be paid attention to. Unexplained or unaccounted for loss of time or money. If your husband just can't really even tell you what he did all day, or, well, what happened to that $50 you had? Those kind of recurring themes are warning signs that you need to watch. Strange charges on credit cards, phone bills, and etc. Most of your pornography industry, when they are charged, when they do send charges, they don't come on your charge slip as XXX.com. They come as seemingly innocent charges, but they're strange, and you have no idea where they come from. Don't be afraid to ask or even call the number to find out what they are. Another warning sign is if you see your husband having wandering eyes when in public places. If you go out to eat, if you go to the mall, or even at church, if you see your husband pretty regularly checking out other women, that's a warning sign that something's going on. Not just a warning sign, it's a problem in and of itself, but it's also many times a tip of the iceberg. Another warning sign is when a man really enjoys isolation. Now, I know that there are introverts. I know that there are men that as a general nature, are more shy. They're not around people as much. But what I'm talking about here is a man who you can almost see him get excited, or he perks up when he finds out that you and the kids are leaving and he's going to be home alone for a few hours. It's often a very good warning sign. Another warning sign is poor performance at work, school, and etc. You're married to a man who you know is very smart, very intelligent, very capable, and yet he just constantly underperforms. It may be his addiction. An interesting side note here is that we've had many men come through our ministry who 6 months, a year, or 2 years into recovery find themselves doing significantly better in their job. We've had several men who worked for themselves who have suddenly had a much greater income. We've had others get promotions, raises, and new jobs. Why? Because they weren't wasting all their time and energy looking at pornography. They weren't walking around in the addictive fog. And as a result of those things, they prospered greatly. So poor performance at work, school, and etc. can oftentimes be a red flag. And then finally, and this kind of goes almost unstated, but needs to be reminded, that if you find hidden pornography or other sexually explicit or implicit materials, don't ignore the warning sign. When it's hidden and you find it, you need to understand that that is almost always a sign of some serious problems. Don't ignore the signs. There are many others, but these are just a few that I wanted to make you aware of. And then eighth, so what do you do? What do you do if you see all the warning signs? What do you do if you know your husband struggles? Well, number eight is that you must seek help for yourself regardless what he does. The pain of your husband's betrayal in this area cannot just be ignored. You need a counselor or someone with the knowledge and skill to help you heal and work through your hurt and anger. You will also most likely need help in understanding why it is so hard for you to set real boundaries and why you have been willing to ignore the signs when you knew deep in your gut something was dreadfully wrong. You may need help understanding why you were drawn to a man with a sexual addiction in the first place. No, I'm not backtracking on what I said about it not being your fault. I will say it again. It is not your fault. It is never your fault. A man's sexual struggles are always first and foremost his responsibility. However, it is critical to understand that pornography, masturbation, and sexual addiction are at their core false intimacies. They are counterfeit substitutes for what the mind and heart craves, which is genuine, joyful connection with others. If your husband had a sexual addiction before you met him, then you need to ask God to show you if there are broken things in your background that left you willing to settle for someone whose addiction left him incapable of true and deep connection. But where do you turn? Well, you may find help and support from a professional counselor who has experience with sexual addiction. A good counselor is worth his or her weight in gold for helping us discover the origins of our dysfunctional ways and for helping us learn to take our pain to God rather than to medicate in other ways. You may also want to join a support group for wives of men with sexual addictions. Most groups will welcome you even if your husband is not doing recovery. Again, regardless of what your husband does, you must seek help for yourself. Yes, we have found the best results when husband and wife are both on a recovery journey. But we have also seen great strides taken by one partner who truly dove into the process. And we have also seen situations where one spouse started getting healthier and then eventually the other spouse joined the process. So regardless of what your husband does with this issue, find help and support for yourself. Well, finally, you may be asking, where can I go for good resources? Well, let me encourage you to check out our website, www.newhope4si.com. That's newhopeforsexualintegrity.com. newhope4si.com. On our website, we have a number of my messages available for free downloads, as well as many other helpful items. We also have a resource list for wives. Hopefully, at some point in the future, we will have a recovery manual for wives to go with my new Hope for Sexual Integrity manual for the men. I have a hunch that this, what of the material I've shared here, will be a significant part of chapter 1. But I would also highly recommend Lori Hall's book, An Affair of the Mind. It's a little bit old, it's getting dated in some ways, but it's a powerful story of how a woman allowed God to reveal to her step by step what she needed to do to get healthy herself and to not allow her husband to just continue to sink on this path and drag her down with her. Mark Castleman's book, The Drug of the New Millennium, is an excellent resource, not just for dealing with your husband, but also for understanding how to help teach your children healthy things about sex and etc. Would also highly recommend the book Codependent No More by Melody Bailey. It helps you understand if you have issues of codependency, rescuing, enabling, and etc., etc. If you happen to know, if you know or have been convinced through this message or knew already that your husband is addicted, then I highly recommend Dr. Doug Weiss's, quote, Now That I Know, What Should I Do? It's available on DVD or as an audio teaching and is a wonderful tool. It's available at his website, which is www.sexaddict.com. Find good resources. Get yourself some tools that help you understand and empower you to do something differently. But most importantly, let me leave you with the hope of knowing that Paul promises something in Romans 8:28 that I know most of you know intellectually. But here's an amazing thing. Paul's promise that in all things God works for good for those who love Him, who've been called according to His purposes, even applies here. All things even covers the pain of knowing that my husband struggles in the sexual arena. If you are in a painful place, please know that God will not waste your pain or your tears. Regardless of what your husband does or does not do, if you allow him, God will find a way to use your current situation to draw you closer to him and bring greater redemption and glory to your life, to your children's life, and to your husband's life. You know, I pray for you. My prayer for you is that you will find what you need. That your husband will find help, that you will find help if there are struggles in this arena. But my bigger prayer for you is that you would go on whatever journey God has for you. Because no matter what your husband does, your life can be different and better if you choose a healthier course. And here's a real important thing in that regard too. Your children's lives can be radically changed if you choose to get healthy. And I say that whether your children are newborns or whether they are grown adults. The most powerful thing you can do in your children's life is get healthier yourself and allow God to do the deep works He wants to do in your life. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message. And I pray God's blessing on you as you continue your journey.